Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I'm an editor at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting across from me, as usual, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Hey there. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, Jonathan.
Do you remember back at the late days of 2011 when you and I sat down and we made some sweeping predictions about what would happen in the world of technology for 2012?
No.
Well,
which is good, why you reminded me of these things.
Luckily, I took notes. So we made predictions, and of course, every year when we make predictions, we hold ourselves accountable by taking our predictions and looking and seeing how we did. So let's take a look at some of these. Should I go first, or do you want to go first?
Oh, why don't you give it a shot?
All right. So my first prediction was that economic uncertainty would cause companies to fail or get acquired or to scale back, which was such a gimme at the end of 2011 that it's almost embarrassing to call that a hit, but I am counting it as a hit. That was, we saw that happen. We saw lots of companies start to cut back. I mean, we had everything from the Yahoo CEO at the time, Scott Thompson, talking about how he was going to have to cut back on a few thousand jobs at Yahoo, or all the way up to Zynga laying off employees. And I mean, we've seen a lot of that throughout the tech sector. And again, it's not a huge surprise. Now, of course, there have been some successes in technology. There have been some companies that have done very well in 2012. But I think it's safe for me to call that one a hit.
All right. So I suppose I should give my my first one a go here.
Yeah.
Yes, I predicted that Yahoo would be purchased by another company, possibly the Chinese search giant Alibaba.
Yeah.
That would be a miss.
Well, I also predicted the same thing. That was one of my predictions as well. I said that they would either be acquired or it would break up into separate companies, and the separate companies would be acquired. So that is also a miss. We both at the time thought Yahoo was kind of really struggling. I mean, it really was struggling. And that was before Scott Thompson came on. And of course, Scott Thompson didn't last that long. So for a while, it looked like that prediction might come true. And then they brought on Marissa Meyer And that kind of gave Yahoo a bit of a boost in the eye of public opinion.
Yeah, as of the end of 2012, those moves, especially they've also struck some content deals and things, and some high profile people have come onto the board of directors. But these things are starting to make people think that Yahoo may have some life in it yet.
Yep.
Meyer, well, she inspired our Women of Tech podcast that we did a little while ago. She has made some pretty substantial changes even in the short time she's been there so far. So
yeah.
People are starting to think there might be a future for Yahoo after all.
Yeah. Yeah. And, do you want me to go again, or you? Because that was Yahoo was both of us. Why don't
yes.
you go again?
Yeah, I predicted that the famed AT&T and T-Mobile deal would fail miserably.
And boy, were you right.
Well, yes. I was really looking at the indicators there, and I felt like that was a pretty sure deal that the deal was off.
Yeah,
that was. Strange. But government regulators felt like it was going to be in the United States here, where the merger was supposed to take place, felt like it just wasn't going to help competition after
yeah.
all, no matter what AT&T was saying. Now, T-Mobile did manage to – the thing was, you know, T-Mobile as the fourth largest carrier in the United States – I mean, Deutsche Telekom has a pretty substantial share over in Europe.
Right.
But in the United States, they're fourth largest. People were saying, hey, they can't keep this up, especially since they don't have the iPhone. They did manage to do some pretty big things this year. They divested themselves of their towers, the actual infrastructure for their network.
Mm-hmm.
They did a couple other small things like they decided they would merge with Metro PCS, which is – I don't know. Are they the fifth largest carrier? They're one of the players that is behind the top four
right.
and not terribly far.
Right.
One of the largest small carriers.
There you go.
By merging that infrastructure, which looks like it might happen, it looks like they might be able to build out the network, take it to LTE, and they've even struck a deal with Apple to bring on Apple products, including apparently the next version of the iPhone. Later on,
right.
which they would not have been able to do as efficiently on their own. So big deals happening, but not with AT&T.
Yep. So total hit for you. I said that RIM would experience a change in executives at the topmost layer. And this was, you know, again, it was either late November or early December when we made these predictions.
Yeah.
Because we do record ahead of time.
Well, we learned early on in these prediction episodes that if we didn't make these predictions by what we saw at the very end of the year, there may be a very good chance that we would be completely off.
Yeah. But it turned out January 2012, that's exactly what happened. RIM,
yep.
the co-CEOs resigned. There's a new CEO at RIM and, you know, this again was sort of a gimme because RIM was really struggling as well, having a real rough time with the added pressures of iPhone and Android and even, you know, and new players like Windows Phone 8 coming onto the smartphone scene. RIM was really struggling and, there was a lot of pressure from shareholders for some big changes to happen. And, failures like the playbook didn't help and that all kind of contributed to it. And so now we've seen a change over at RIM. So I count that as a hit.
Yep. Yep. And, predicted that Facebook would have an IPO. That was a hit. Although,
yep.
You know, again, that was a semi-gimme because they were sort of required to. But the signs had been pointing. I didn't actually know that at the time that we predicted this.
Yeah.
And it looked like everything was pointing that way, that they were getting to the point where they were going to try to raise money with their IPO. Of course, that hasn't been a huge success for them, but may still pan out in the end, of course.
Yeah, I predicted that Facebook would hit 1 billion users before the end of 2012, which was a hit. And, you know, based upon the number of users that Facebook had at the end of 2011 and the traditional growth trend for Facebook, that was a pretty safe bet to make, and it turned out to pay off. So there we go. Facebook has over 1 billion users. That's a lot of people.
That's amazing to think about, really.
Yeah. Technically, I guess I should say 1 billion active accounts because some of those accounts may in fact be held by, you know, a single individual.
Yeah. Yeah, I would wager that.
Like 900,000 of them.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep track of all those.
Oh, speaking of social networking.
Yep.
I predicted that Google Plus would not fold. People were saying last year, I remember people saying, look, Google Plus, at first it was a Facebook killer, and then it wasn't.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this. This is terrible, people. It's just going to happen. Google blew it again on social networking. But I said, no, it's going to stick around, and I think it will slowly grow, and it slowly has.
Yeah, it's not been dramatic, but that's exactly what you predicted. And I remember the early days of Google Plus, it felt like it was a playground for all the tech journalists and tech industry folks, because that's all the people I saw on Google Plus. We were the ones who got the invites in pretty early, and I had mine within the first week that it had launched, that came out of beta. And for me, that was a blast. It was like, oh, I get to play with all my friends. And then I realized, hey, you know what? This is not so great for anybody else. But it has, you know, very slowly grown, and it'll be interesting to see if it'll continue to grow. I know that there's a lot of, I don't know if animosity is the right word, but dissatisfaction with certain Facebook users at the direction that Facebook has been taking. And it could give opportunity to a social network like Google Plus to really take advantage of that. Or we might even see, and this will be a shocker if it happens, but we might even see something like MySpace take advantage of that and become a player in that arena again.
I would be interested to see that, simply because I have written MySpace off. And they are clinging to life.
Yeah.
And actually, from what I've read, making some pretty reasonably decent improvements.
Yeah, I haven't.
What's up with that?
I haven't checked it recently. I remember the last time I looked, it definitely was a dramatic departure from the previous version of MySpace, which was nothing but good, because the old MySpace got way too cluttered and way. Everyone seemed to have an animated background image that was designed to make my eyes bleed, and they also had the music scientifically generated to make me want to punch people. So I'm glad that that has started to change. So for the punching people part, I'm just kind of ingrained at this point.
good times. Oh, I predicted that Facebook would make a huge acquisition that would make people wonder what might be happening behind the scenes.
Yeah.
This is kind of common. This was kind of if anybody's going to do this kind of thing, it would probably be Facebook, because they got a lot of money. So I predicted this was going to happen, and
it kind of didn't. If you could argue that Instagram was one of those, except that it made a lot of sense because Facebook was really struggling in the mobile platform, especially things with like mobile photo sharing. And Instagram was, you know, really taking off there. But I don't know, because the way you worded it in the predictions episode was it sounded like it was going to be a company that would be so out of left field that would make us all scratch our heads and say, why would Facebook even want that? So I put a question mark by this instead of hit or miss, because I think you hit it more than you missed it, but it wasn't completely within the spirit of the prediction.
Yeah, I think Twitter did that more than Facebook did this year, because they had a sort of acquisition. But
speaking of acquisitions, here's a big miss on my part. I predicted this is one that, even as I made the prediction, I said I didn't really think it was going to happen, but I wanted to have some pretty crazy predictions in my list. I said that Google would purchase Twitter, and that did not happen. I have seen some people suggest that could still happen, like they could still see Google make a run at Twitter. I honestly think that ship has sailed. Twitter has kind of established itself at this point. I don't see it becoming a part of a larger corporation anytime really soon. Of course, that probably means that that's going to happen next week. But anyway, I totally missed on that one. Although, again, I was purposefully sticking my neck out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's fun to do those and see what actually happens.
Yep.
Let's see. Said the Wii U would be a minor hit.
Which, you know, it's, kind of is.
Yeah.
It's, you know, again, minor hit. That, since you said minor, that was a good call.
It's been selling, but it hasn't been selling like the original Wii did.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the reviews are kind of all over the place. You know, some people absolutely love it and love the gamepad. Other people find it very large and clunky, and they don't necessarily think that it's a huge improvement over the previous generation, although it does support HD, which the old one did not.
True.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's, I don't think it's the runaway success that Nintendo kind of needs, but at least it's not a total flop.
Yeah, yeah. I had another Nintendo related one, that Nintendo would cut the price of the 3DS again. And I was basing that on the sales numbers because the 3DS had done something similar. They were selling, but they weren't selling like hotcakes.
Right.
So I thought, well, they'll cut the price before the end of the year. And I thought, especially around, this time of year when we're recording this, right before the holidays here in the United States, I thought, oh yeah, that's, they're going to have to. Actually, something else happened. They actually started selling more of them.
Yeah, yeah. Nintendo had, when they launched the 3DS, it wasn't but a couple of months later that they cut the price pretty drastically. And that was a pretty big news story because it was a dramatic move on Nintendo's part. You know, they launch a new product, and then to cut the price of that product within the same year of its launch was a big deal. But yeah, you had said that it was probably going to undergo yet another price cut. But as it turns out, I think Nintendo, the price cut they made was at a point that it no longer gave gamers pause, or hooves for that matter to pick up a, Nintendo 3DS. And so they ended up, the sales figures ended up spiking. They ended up getting a good lift from that. And in fact, the portable console became a bit of a success, or at least much more so than it had been at its original price.
Right, right. Plus more games came out for it too, so that kind of helped.
So I have these numbered in my notes, but I'm going to actually jump down a little bit because I have a Nintendo prediction too. I just got to make sure that I go back up when we move off on this.
All right.
I said that Nintendo would begin to work on a smartphone, and as far as we know, that has not happened. So that was one of those things where I just looked at the market that Nintendo is in, that casual gamer market, and that many casual gamers have turned to things like smartphones and tablets to be the source of their casual games. That's their go-to device to play games on, which means that those devices are competing with Nintendo's products. So to me, it made a lot of sense for Nintendo to look into creating some sort of smartphone, either partnering with another company and then just sort of having a co-branded product, or striking out on their own and trying to make a Nintendo smartphone from the ground up. That did not happen. So, yeah, that's a miss on my part.
Sad. It would have been interesting to see. Let's see. Apple TV. We were talking last year about Apple TV.
Yeah.
Which is not the little device, that you plug into your TV. We were talking about an Apple television.
Yeah, an actual TV running Apple software.
Because some people were saying any minute now.
Yeah.
We're going to see the Apple TV.
Those same people are still saying that.
Yes.
You were one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, this happened with the iPad and a couple of the other products that we've seen with them. The iPhone, it's coming any day now.
Yeah.
It's still coming any day now, although it looks as of the end of 2012 that it really isn't just a rumor, that they really are trying to perfect a television.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll be a hit or not, but it looks like it will come out. I predicted that it would not be out by the end of 2012, and therefore –
it's a hit. And I disagreed. I went ahead and said, you know what? We're going to have this be a hit or a miss one way or the other. I will go ahead and predict that Apple will come out with Apple TV before the end of 2012. So that was a miss for me. But then that was again another one of those where I was like, I feel confident that one of these two outcomes will happen. So I will take the other side. As for one of my official predictions, I said that Netflix would get its act together and that possibly Reed Hastings might even leave the company because, you know, 2011 was a rough year for Netflix. There were some very public missteps made by the company. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a CEO apologize to consumers as frequently as Reed Hastings appeared to be doing in 2011. Mr. Hastings did not leave the company.
Senor Hastings.
Yes. Hastings is still there. But I would say, you know, at least Netflix hasn't made any other big mistakes like 2011, you know, seemed to have a rash of them. 2012, there wasn't really as much of that. So I guess getting its act together is more or less true. And also Netflix did strike some high-profile deals, although those deals are not going to come to fruition for a few years. The deal with Disney to run movies that the Disney features, Netflix struck that deal with Disney, and that's a big deal, but it's something we're not going to actually get to enjoy for a few more years.
Yeah, actually, they struck a couple of deals with Disney.
Yeah,
and there is another deal with Disney that did go through. To show older Disney content.
Right.
But that's a separate
thing. Yeah,
as opposed
to the stuff that's most recently been in theaters. That's the big deal that's not going to take effect for another couple of years.
So that is a different animal.
Yes.
Just for clarification.
Thank you.
Let's see. I have new Google TV products will come out and no one will care.
Wow, what a hit that was.
Well, Google has the wherewithal to throw its weight behind products. And Google TV, while pretty well critically acclaimed, hey, this is a good product, let's see more of it. Yeah. Actually, that's sort of what happened with Apple's product, too. Hey, this is really neat, but nobody's buying.
I think it's still not quite ready. Like, there are several features that are... they're not fully integrated with Google TV yet, and a lot of that is due to content creators resisting. And so everything that the Google TV should be able to do, it cannot do. And that's more to do with business deals and non-existent deals, like things that need to happen that have not happened. And so Google TV is a product that's not as good as it could be, as it was engineered to be.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, it's not the fault of the technology. That's more of a business side thing, but it's still true. I call that a hit. We saw Google, at the Google I/O event, there was a lot about Google TV and still it has not really, launched to any kind of real success in the marketplace.
Yeah. Well, part of the reason is that, the initial launch partner, I mean, there was a big, there was a big hardware deal with Logitech that they were going to partner, and apparently most people liked it that had tried it, but you know, those 15 people, I'm teasing. But the thing is, it was an expensive product. It was $299, I think, when it first launched.
Something like that.
And they ended up dropping it in 2011 to $99. And they had, you know, some pretty stiff competition from people like Roku. So, you know, they ended up shelving that. Logitech said, nope, we're done. We're out. And I figured somebody else will want in on this because, you know, you've got Android, you've got the possibility of apps moving over, and it, still didn't.
Well,
the deals that they have made this year have not sold like, you know, one might expect.
Google Fiber might help that whole process. I mean, the fact that the fiber hoods.
Everyone needs more fiber.
Well, yeah. And then you know, as part of your deal of getting, depending on what tier you subscribe to for Google Fiber, if you happen to be in one of the two Kansas cities in the United States, you get things like a Nexus 7 tablet that can act as a controller. So you're starting to get some of that Google TV functionality there in the Google Fiber service. And that might even be enough to start getting kind of a word of mouth campaign going. And maybe we'll see an improvement in the next year, But 2012 was not Google TV's year, so that was a hit for you.
Yeah.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices. And that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's C-O-N-C-U-R.com. Working remotely,
Where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
I said that at E3 we would see, at least get a sneak peek of the next generation consoles from Sony and Microsoft, and that was a miss. We did not see that. However, we have seen some leaked reports about what those next consoles might be.
Yeah.
With the PS4 or Orbis and the Xbox 720 or codenamed Durango, what those specs might be for those consoles and what features they might support. But we did not see anything at E3. It will absolutely shock me if we don't see anything in 2013.
Yeah. Signs suggest that you will start to see something come out.
Yeah.
Despite rumors that all of them want to just get out of the console business entirely.
That would shock me about Microsoft, mostly because the Xbox division for Microsoft has historically performed really, really well. And I think Microsoft kind of should hold on to that.
Yeah.
But then I also want, predictions to come true. So anyway, your next one.
Yes, Apple. New iPhone will have near-field communication, yes. And I said, no, it's not going to. And that
was a hit.
That was a hit.
Yeah, no NFC in the latest iPhone, which that's what you predicted. And you know what? You gave some very intelligent reasons why you thought it wasn't going to happen, and those are exactly the reasons why Apple cites, they're not pursuing NFC technology at the moment. So, well done.
Which it's going to be interesting going forward because Google has included NFC technology in tablet devices, yeah, not just phones.
That's true. So Google has an NFC in it.
Yes, Google is betting on its wallet technology going forward.
I have never used it.
The Square folks, the mobile payment folks,
right? Not they're, Square. They're not actually people. Square like Daddy O.
They came out from Minecraft and they won't leave.
The drapes and the squares, baby.
Yeah. But, the mobile payment technology is coming up, so it'll be, it's becoming more and more popular. So I don't know if Apple will do it this next year. Assuming it will release a new iPhone, it might.
Well, it's the same sort of thing with, supporting LTE and stuff like that, right? Apple prefers for technologies to be somewhat mature before they start to incorporate them into their products. So, I think it's at least another year for that, just because I don't think NFC is near the maturity level that Apple would feel comfortable including it. Although, I could be surprised. I mean, I'm not 100% sold either way.
Yeah.
As continuing the theme of things that Apple products will not have, I said that this was a thing at the time. At the end of 2011, one of the rumors about the next iPad was that it could have a 3D screen, a built-in screen that would allow you to view things in 3D, kind of like the Nintendo 3DS. And I said, ain't no way that's going to happen, because it doesn't really make sense for a touchscreen device to have this 3D capability built into it, because you interact with it in a 2D interface. So why would you have a 3D view? And that was a hit. It's kind of a no-brainer as far as I was concerned, although there were a lot of people who were saying that was going to happen. Now, I wish I had predicted that Apple was going to launch two updates to the iPad in a single year, because no one was saying that, and that's what happened.
Yeah, nor did we mention the iPad mini.
No.
Let's see. Oh, but we did talk about WebOS on that podcast. I was thinking that, you know, once HP acquired Palm, that it was going to get into the WebOS business. Not yet. You gave me a question mark in this. Jonathan put together, went back because I don't have the patience to listen, and went back and listened to last year's predictions, and he gave me a question mark here. I would give me a miss.
Well,
because they're not going to do it. It looks like I've read reports that they are thinking about some things that they'd like to do with it, but I don't think they're going to do it by the end of the year.
The reason I put a question mark was just because of the fact that they did make it open source and open it up to people.
Okay,
but that was kind of happening at the end of 2011 anyway. So I put a question mark there because you could argue that by making it open source, that is something useful. That was essentially that your prediction was that HP would do something that was useful with WebOS. So that's why the question mark is there. I think it's more of a miss than a hit too, but you know.
I think I was thinking, it's hard to say.
It's been a year.
I think I was thinking that HP itself would come out with a product that used it.
And that did not happen.
No, that did not happen.
So, here's another miss for me. Although, I think it was a good guess, it just didn't happen. Which was that at least one of the big daily deal sites would go under. And so things like Living Social or Groupon, these coupon sites, because there's been a lot of news about how these sites have shown to not be profitable. They're struggling with revenue. That it's kind of a losing proposition as far as these companies are set up right now. Maybe there is a way of doing this that isn't a revenue loss. But at the moment, there are some big news stories about layoffs at these various companies or executive shuffles at some of these companies. But none of them, to my knowledge, as of the recording of this podcast, have officially gone under, so that is a miss.
Yep. Although you could probably make that prediction again for next year.
I probably can. I'll just write that down.
I predicted that Canonical would ditch Unity as its interface for Ubuntu.
Because people were complaining about it.
Yes, and they are still complaining about it.
Yep, because it's still there.
But, of course, one of the things that I neglected to think about – oh, by the way, if you're clueless as to what I'm talking about, Ubuntu is a version of Linux, often called a flavor of Linux.
Which is an operating system.
Which is an operating system that is not Windows or Macintosh.
Right.
Or many other systems. But, you know, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you probably would consider Windows and Mac OS to be the two big – and you'd be right. Ubuntu is a very popular version of Linux, and it irritated many people. I'm sorry.
There are two people.
It's getting close to lunchtime and my blood sugar is dropping.
Two people in Iowa.
Some people like the Unity interface, but many people do not. They've been pretty vocal. And, you know, I thought, well, maybe Canonical, which is the organization that that releases Ubuntu and other versions that are similar – you know, I thought maybe that pressure would get them to discontinue it. I didn't count on the simplicity with which you can switch interfaces, which I had experienced, but I was thinking, oh, no. People are just going to get them to beg off and leave well enough alone. They didn't. And you can. It's easy if you install Ubuntu to put another interface on top of it that isn't Unity, like GNOME or, you know, KDE, so people just do that.
Yep. My next prediction was kind of a hit. I mean, this is a debatable hit. I should have put a question mark next to this one, really, which was Microsoft Windows tablets will debut to modest results. And I guess modest results is a fair way of saying it. From the sales figures I've seen, it certainly isn't a runaway success. But they have sold some. It's not a total flop either. So I guess modest results is fair enough. But
I think it's too early to call.
Yeah, but it's definitely not a runaway hit, which is kind of what I was going for, was that the Windows tablets would come out. It's not that no one would care. It's just that they wouldn't become like a they wouldn't just fly off the shelves.
Right.
Now, that being said, I personally think the Windows 8 tablet interface is pretty interesting.
I do, too.
And I still am curious about getting my hands on a full, like, the professional Surface. The Windows RT version I'm not as interested in because, again, I'm not a great tablet person. I own a tablet, and I barely use it, and it's an Android tablet. But I barely use it, so even though it's an operating system I love with Android, and it's the Nexus 7, so it's got the latest version of Android on it, I still don't use it that frequently, which to me just tells me that I'm not a tablet person. But still, I kind of want to get my hands on one of the professional Windows 8 tablets, Surface tablets.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was my next one.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Well, speaking of Android-based tablets, I predicted that the Kindle Fire would be a hit.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, well
in,
done.
In fact, well, that was sort of a gimme. It's such a hit that Amazon has released more than one Kindle Fire and updated it. So, now they have the HD. They have a competitive larger size tablet. I don't know that now that the Nexus 7 and Nexus 10 are out,
yep.
I don't think that the Kindle Fire is running away as fast as it was. But it is still, it's got legs and it knows how to use them.
And it's so tightly integrated with Amazon's, you know, catalog and systems that anyone who really uses Amazon a lot, it has a huge appeal to it. It's just like for me, again, the Android tablet has a big appeal because so much of my stuff is in the Google infrastructure already, like Google Cloud stuff and, you know, Google Docs and Gmail and all that kind of thing, that it just made sense for me to go with Android because it was already so tightly integrated. Same sort of thing with Amazon. I mean, if you do a lot of shopping on Amazon or you get a lot of your music from Amazon, it makes sense because it's just, it's designed to work with that system. So it's the best, I would say it's the best interface for those systems, hands down. I mean, it's not that, you know, the Android or iOS versions of that are bad. They're just not designed from the ground up to work with them. So it's a little different. My next one, this was another big one that I was kind of sticking my neck out on. But I actually felt pretty good about it. It turned out to be a miss, so it shows what I know. But I said it was going to be the swan song for the CD, that CDs were essentially going to be phased out, and we wouldn't really see them in things like retail establishments or being sold online as much anymore, that it, really the move would be to really focus on digital delivery. And that just hasn't quite happened yet. I still think it's – I mean, the day is coming. It's just not – here.
It didn't happen this year. It
didn't happen in 2012, so that's a miss.
Yep. Let's see. Apple will not lower iPad prices. That was also a semi-gimme.
It
was a hit. They have, in if you're speaking literally, because they released a new iPad. Oh, wait. Two new iPad lines. Keeping
the new iPad and the new iPad.
Keeping the series more or less intact as
ironically,
far as...
you can't buy the new iPad anymore. You can buy an iPad 2, but not the new iPad.
Yeah, that was the interesting part. Now, that actually was true. When they released the iPad 3, if we're talking... Let's talk chronologically.
Let's do it that way.
They kept the iPad 2 on because it was still fairly recent, and it offered them another price point, a lower price point at which they could offer the iPad.
Yeah, so technically, the price dropped, but... if you want to talk about what is the latest version of that product on the market at the time, the price stayed steady.
Yeah.
So previous versions of the iPad, the price would drop if they remained available in the Apple store. But the current version of whatever that product was still the same price. So that's why this is a hit. Where, you know, we might have people write in and say, well, you know, the Apple II is cheaper now. I'm like, yes, but we're talking about if you were to go in and buy the latest version of that, they never, despite the pressures of things like Android tablets and even the Windows tablets coming out, they did not bow to those pressures and change the price point for the entry-level iPad.
Did you say the Apple II?
Did I?
Yeah, I think so. The iPad II.
The iPad
Whatever.
II. I had an hour and a half of sleep last night.
I was just picking on you.
No, that's good. All right, well, this is my last prediction until the very, very last prediction of the show. So Chris is actually going to have a couple back-to-back.
Oh, yeah.
But here's mine. I said that tech will play the largest role ever in election history, which was such a gimme that it was pathetic. And it was a hit. We saw technology play a huge role, particularly social media, which, again, not a big surprise. We had started to see that in the previous election. I'm talking about the United States elections. Although, technically, elections around the world really saw a lot of involvement in technology.
True.
And sometimes regime changes that didn't have anything to do with elections saw a lot to do with technology.
That is correct,
So technology and politics continue to be a big deal, and we see tighter and tighter integration. We're starting to see generations of politicians who grew up using at least some form of technology. You know, if you go back just a couple of years, a few years, not even that many, a lot of the politicians were at an age where they didn't have things like computers and smartphones and things at their beck and call when they were young enough for that to be a formative part of their experience, right? It wasn't something that they were, you know, they might become familiar with it, but it was after those years. And so they weren't necessarily as comfortable with it in many cases. Now, there are definitely exceptions to this rule, but in general, they were not as savvy. But that's starting to change now. And I think it'll be really interesting to see in the next few years when we start seeing people who have grown up in the digital age taking positions of power in politics, how that's going to unfold for technology in general. That'll be really interesting to see.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's see. Windows 8 will debut to lackluster adoption. That was a hit.
Yeah, particularly in the enterprise. In fact, I've seen a lot of people say that they think enterprises are going to pull the same thing they did with Vista and skip Windows 8, at least for the short term, and stick with either XP or Windows 7.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, what I was thinking then was not that Windows 8 was going to stink, which I don't get the impression that it stinks.
No.
Other than the fact that the interface is different enough that it throws some people. I don't think that's a stink. I think that's more of a wait.
Yeah, it's so radically different.
Wait.
There's a steep learning curve at first, but then it levels off pretty quickly. Once you get the tricks down, it's pretty easy to navigate. But it is so radically different from previous versions of Windows that can be a turnoff for someone. You know, like you turn on your computer and you immediately don't know where anything is because it looks so different from everything else you've ever used. That can definitely give people pause to adoption.
Yeah, and what I was really thinking was that the cost and the effort for companies was going to be so great that it wasn't just going to fly off shelves.
Right.
And then I figured that Diablo 3 was coming because we had heard that it was going to.
Yep.
And I figured it would be a massive hit. And again, this is a gimme because it's a Blizzard title that everybody had been anticipating for a very long time.
Yeah, so it was a really big hit, although it was the kind of hit that, you know, it wasn't really sticky. You know?
No, it didn't stick.
Right after, initially after the release, there was a huge amount of excitement. There were also problems. I mean, there were some server issues that people had. There were some digital rights management issues that people had. So there were some legitimate problems with the game, or at least with the way the public accepted the game.
Yeah.
But the really interesting thing to me was that within a couple of months, no one I knew anyway, and these were gamers who were really excited about Diablo 3 when it first came out. No one was talking about that game anymore.
Yeah.
Whereas some of the games that I play right now came out early in 2012, and I still have friends who chat about those games quite a bit. So it just didn't have that stickiness. All right, so here is my final prediction. We have gotten down to the end of the show, and this is a big one, folks. So my prediction was that Chris and I would be making a prediction show for 2013 around the same time of the year as we were doing the prediction show for 2012, which...
That should have been a gimme.
Should have been a gimme hit. It's a miss. And the reason for that is that we must announce that Chris is leaving Tech Stuff.
Yes.
He has one more episode to go, so he's not gone yet. But we have one more episode we're going to do, and it's an episode that that Chris has picked the topic for specifically because it was something that he really wanted to talk about, and I expect that episode will be amazing. But yes, that is a miss because the Tech Stuff's going to be a different show.
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to throw Jonathan's predictions off.
Yeah, you wanted to get more hits than misses and have me have more or less an even number. And boy, that was a heck of a way of doing it. I guess it was either Yeah, it was either that or to somehow get all politicians to stop using technology, so that one wouldn't be a hit.
Yeah, and I figured this one would be the easier one.
Yeah.
No, it's just one of those things where Tech Stuff is going to go through some changes, and I figured this was sort of a good time. I have other stuff that I've been working on that's not podcast or blog related, and I thought, you know, maybe the time has come for me to leave the show. So I predict, I don't have predictions for next year, but I predict the next episode will be a very special episode of Tech Stuff.
Yes. So guys, if you want to let us know what you think about our, how we did on our predictions, if you have any predictions for 2013, if you have any messages you would like to send Chris, you should definitely contact us.
No profanity, please.
No. Let's keep these professional, people. You can shed some tears if you want. You wouldn't be the only ones. But yeah, send us a message. Our email is techstuff@discovery.com or find us on Twitter or Facebook. Our handle there is techstuffhsw. And Chris and I will talk to you again one last time with the both of us really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.